My name is Giuseppe Lavelle, but people call me Joe. And it's very primitive in those days, you know, very primitive. There's about 8 or 10 houses in those days. We had to go and buy groceries. We have to go to Milton or Wollongong to get groceries. And then steady, steady, as we're making money, we built houses. And one thing to another, we made this town bigger and bigger. The fishing started because of a person called Joe Puglisi. He was the first one, Joe Puglisi. He started in 1939, him and the Gregos. My father, Antonio Lavelli. Antonio Lavelli, Joe Grego, Sammy Puglisi, Saro Costa, they're all good fishermen. Vince Costa, and that's all I can think of. They were the main fishermen, and I had to follow them, because it was all one family. Fishermen here were all related, cousins, brothers, good friends. From Italy to Wollongong, and they were set lining, and then as the fish got less, they kept coming south. Worked hard to get money for their family, to get a better life. They wanted, because they were poor like everybody else. Joe Puglisi was about 18, and he come to Australia to better his, the better his life, the better the family. So he came here, he worked like in a 10 foot or 15 foot dinghy. And then he got enough money, so he called his father. So when he called his father and his two brothers, father and two brothers, they worked. Then in 1924-25, they called the family out. So your cousin, my cousin, his cousin, it was 1920 when he come here, Joe Puglisi. Oh yeah, I'd do it again. But it was very hard for my missus, having 6 kids and can't speak English. You're born to do that thing. You've got to think like a fish. Because if you don't think like a fish, you might as well not do it. That's the skill. It's like being a carpenter. You've got to have the skill. I used to follow the old people. That's what my dad said. If you listen to the old people, you might learn something. Well, I tell you what, my boys wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. It's my grandfather, my father, it was me, my boys. And I got another little kid, Charlie's kid. That's 5 generations. We catch all 16 species of fish. Yeah, there's no tuna's going strong. Leather jackets, flathead, mahong, John Dory. Ling, all sorts of fish, coral cod. Very competitive. Like everyone try to catch more fish than one another, because that's the name of the game. Very rare. There used to be arguments, but when we come ashore, it was all over. Because it's all family. The car, we bought that in 1956 too. For £5,000. So every fisherman that we had, the old fisherman, put in £250 per person, per family. We got that together. And from then on, we started catching more fish, getting bigger boats. Then in the 50s or 60s, there was a bit of tuna, they started catching tuna, and that boosted the co-op up, with the tuna. We made a co-op so we could limit the expenses. The fishermen used to save money. Instead of me buying the nets direct off the salesman, the co-op would buy it. And buy a big heap and save 10%, 20%. Fishermen had to save, because the industry was getting slower, getting harder to catch. instead of having 10 trucks, we have 2 trucks, you know. This is before the co-op. We used to have our own truck. When we used to fill the truck, we used to be all right, but when we didn't fill the truck up, didn't pay. So we used to put fish in with your truck, and you do it, you know. We're trying to eliminate the expenses. I had a very bad time in the 40s, very bad. And we had a lot of racing until the 1950 in Australia. We used to be cheeky, I think the word was. We used to be cheeky. You used to go and go to my father, said, "Are you cheeky, whatever?" And my father said to them, "One day my children will marry your children." And you know what the bloke said? "That'll be the day." And that's what happened today. I love catching fish. That's what you do it for. Like being on the water. If my wife wasn't sick, I'd still do it. Oh, I used to be very frightened of the sea, you know. Then after a while, you got to respect the sea. That's what you learn. Once you respect the sea, you can go anywhere. I could go all around the world if I wanted to. And then in 1956, the old fishermen, my father, Joe Grego, Sammy Puglisi, they all wanted to get a saint, because overseas we used to have a saint for the fishermen. Every St. Patrick had a saint, Porto Salvo had a saint, every saint had a day, you know. So they decided to get a saint for the fishermen. So they decided to get St. Peter. He was a fisherman. That was in 1956. And the fishermen all put money to buy the saint. They wanted the priest to bless the fleet, so they got an archbishop from Wollongong. And we used to have a parade. We used to have the saint in front and with a parade. All the fishermen followed the saint. That's how we started the blessing of the fleet. The fishermen started, the old people. My father, Joe Grego, Sammy Puglisi, all those old fishermen, that's how they started it. We're talking about 50, 60,000. That's what used to be on the hills. Seriously, it's 50, 60,000. And when we used to bring these people in, all the shops made money, everyone made money. In the early days, the Archbishop used to do it. Then our priest does it now. He used to bless the fleet, you know, whatever the word is. He used to go in a dinghy, in a ship, in a boat. If there was 20 boats, every row, they used to do every row. We had a party after the blessing of the fleet. We used to have a get-together in the co-op, on the boats. On the boats, like your family, my family. And if there was a good friend, he'd come, mind you.
In 1985, I was a princess of the fleet. My sponsors were the Milton Aldoric Servos Club. So that was quite some time ago. So that's important to the whole festival. And when the boats are blessed, they need a princess to represent the fleet. So we have a pageant and we normally have the big ball for that a fortnight before the actual festival. And then she leads the procession in the float parade on the Easter Sunday. So in our town, it's been going since 1956, but we get about 20,000 people at least on the day, and we've got lots of rides and stalls and fireworks and obviously the blessing of the fleet itself by the Catholic priest. So it's probably the largest religious festival in New South Wales, actually. So it's a great tradition. We've got third generations now coming in and being princesses, so it's a wonderful tradition, and a lot of children in the area grow up building floats with their cousins or friends or neighbours, and then sort of a bit of a coming of age in our area. Yeah, well, it is a real big community effort because the whole town benefits. And then there's tug of war, which represents pulling in the fish and the haul of the day, the catch of the day. So that also happens on the beach. And yeah, we just watch different community groups competing against each other, like the SES versus the RFS and things like that. So it's a big community day, And there's a lot of market stalls and rides and, you know, of course, the fireworks. When the Italian fishing community came together and, you know, were just working well together down at the harbour, and then they just decided that, oh, why don't we have something great for our town? It might be great for tourism, or it'll just be, you know, just be something great to do for our town. And it just grew and grew. So every Easter Sunday, we hold the Blessing Fleet Festival in Ulladulla and we close the highway for 12 hours. The town is packed with 20,000 people lining the streets for a float parade that starts at 11. And it comprises of at least 28 princesses. And they've all got their wonderful decorated floats wearing their ball gowns. And the parade is led by the winning princess. And the Italian community actually carry the statue of St. Peter and lead the parade. Straight after that, people can enjoy live music. We've got three arenas. We've got the carnival at the Marlin. We've got the stage down on the harbour. We've got another stage out the front of the Civic Centre. So we've got bands going simultaneously. We've got dancing. We've got all sorts of shows and market stalls and rides. And then, you know, the grand finale is fireworks. Most people stay all day because there's non-stop entertainment, and there's three different arenas for that entertainment, and as well as show bags and rides, and, you know, so some people go home and lie down for an hour and come back for the fireworks. I'm the chairperson of the festival, so I am there all day running around like a mad chook. And I guess, it, as I mentioned, a rite of passage for Year 10 girls in our town. And it's, you know, but what separates it from a normal sort of a formal is there are etiquette lessons attached, and you actually attend dancing lessons for a couple of months leading up to it with your partner, and you learn about five or so dances for the ball. So, and, you know, the ball's a very grand affair with beautiful, beautiful flowing gowns and dignitaries, and it's a great event that happens, you know, just before the festival. Well, yeah, the boys get right into it. They love it. It's funny because, you know, they all go and get measured up for their suits, and they come along to the dance lessons, and, you know, there might be a little bit of goofing around, you know, at age 15, 16, but they get into it though, and they do really well. They do a great job. But during the Blessing Fleet Festival, though, we do have trawlers that travel from places like Eden and Shell Harbour to come and join in, and they all decorate their boats with the colours of Italy. And so, yeah, it's a beautiful sight to behold. We do respect our Indigenous past and culture here, so we always do a welcome to country, and we have Uncle Noel Butler come down and do a speech and a welcome to country.